If you like dropping bombs from downtown, you've come to the right place.
Ahead to Curry. Curry sets, fires, puts it up. Bang! Steph Curry from way downtown.
Get ready for all things basketball.
Let it rain!
Where the hot takes get even hotter.
He's on fire!
This is Beyond the Arc with Jacob Reimer.
All right, everyone, welcome back for another episode of Beyond the Arc. I'm your host, Jacob Reimer, and welcome back, college basketball. Yes, that is right, ladies and gentlemen. We have college basketball games, actual games that go on record, start tonight. We are so back. College basketball is back. It's great. Vibes are immaculate right now. We are going to dive in this episode deep into college basketball, give you all the ins and outs, what you got to do to prepare and learn about each team coming into this season. Not each team, but the main contenders and those kind of teams. We're going to give you a breakdown of each team in the top 25 and then my predictions on the end of the season, awards, Final Four, championship, all of that. So stay tuned to the very end to see who I will have cutting down the nets in Houston this year at the end of the Final Four, at the end of the college basketball season. But we are at the very beginning of the year. Not many blockbusters, not any blockbuster matchups tonight. Just a bunch of tune-up games, see how the teams feel about each other, all this and that. We'll get into the blockbusters next week. At the end of the week, we have Gonzaga, Michigan State on an aircraft carrier, which that'll be very fun to watch. And then we'll have the Champions Classic the week after. So normally it's the first weekend of college basketball, first night, and they do the playoff rankings in between games, which is really cool. They decided to change that up this year. College basketball's coming back on a Monday night. So tonight we will have college basketball. So let's get into it here, starting out here with the top 25, get you a feeler for each team, what to expect from each team, what to know about each team it ranked inside the top 25. So number one, North Carolina. You guys know how I feel about them. They are by far the number one team in the country, returning everybody from last year except Brady Manek, and that'll be the main part for this team. Well, how will they replace Brady Manek? Well, they did just that this year in the transfer portal, bringing in Pete Nance from Northwestern, and this guy up for Karl Malone Award. Like, this guy is a really, really good player. He's going to help this North Carolina team out a ton, filling the role of Brady Manek. Puff Johnson coming off the bench when he's healthy. I really like this team's depth. You're not going to have the Iron Five like last year with them. They're going to be really fun to watch. Caleb Love, I'm very high on this season. Armando Bacot, RJ Davis, Leaky Black coming back for another year, and just an outstanding defender there for North Carolina. Do not be surprised if you see this North Carolina team make another run at it this year. Gonzaga, they return Drew Timmy. That is what their main headline is, that they are returning Drew Timmy for junior year, I believe. He's coming back. They got a lot of freshmen from a year ago, now sophomores, guards that are not as experienced at the position at this level, that will need to be play at a high level for this Gonzaga team to succeed. They brought in some key transfers through the transfer portal for their depth at the big position behind Drew Timmy. But the main thing around Mark Few and this Gonzaga team is the guard play. Will the guard play step up when down the stretch when they need a big play, big shot made? Julian Strother coming back for another year. He's going to be a huge piece to this Gonzaga team out on the perimeter. So Gonzaga, they're going to be Gonzaga, but I don't know if they'll be the Gonzaga of old. They will be always right in there in the mix towards the top of the rankings, but it'll all depend on the guard play if they can be the Gonzaga team that we have seen the past 2 years. Number three is Houston. If they are finally healthy, they are finally healthy at the moment. If they can stay healthy, this Houston team is very dangerous. Marcus Sasser, guy averaging 17 a game before he got hurt and missed all of last season, a potential All-American for Houston. Kelvin Sampson, the defense is just insane. like, this is probably the best defensive team and one of the best offensive teams in all of college basketball this year. Do not be surprised if you see Houston making it deep into March in the NCAA tournament this year. Kentucky. A lot of question marks around Kentucky, especially for how last season ended. They lost some guys to the NBA draft, but they did return the reigning John R. Wooden Award winner, Oscar Tshiebwe, the Big O. He is back, but he's currently out because of a knee injury he recently had surgery on. Sevier Wheeler is also out now. They bring in a big freshman in Chris Livingston. He's going to be a huge factor for them. CJ Frederick coming off the bench. They've got shooters if they can stay healthy, but that's the main thing right now is they are not healthy. But even when they do get healthy, it is Final Four or bust for how this team went out last year to St. Peter's. I'm excited for Oscar Tshiebwe to come back. He's just a walking double-double menace on the glass. He is going to be a big piece for Kentucky this year once he gets healthy. Kansas at number 5. There is a lot of question marks around this Kansas team. What they will do to replace Ochai Agbaji, Christian Brown, David McCormick. As of right now, they don't have a true big, so this team could go really small. I really like their freshman they brought in, Grady Dick, 5-star freshman, MJ Rice, who just sounds like he's going to be a dog. They got Kevin McCullough from Texas Tech, transferring in conference to Kansas, and he is going to be a big problem for them. They also got Jalen Wilson returning, and the point guard from last year, DeJuan Harris. This guy is going to be the focal point, the orchestrator of the offense, but the main piece is Kevin McCullough, and they need to get a true big on the inside to show some presence, rim protector like David McCormick was, if Kansas wants to make a run and make back-to-back championships. Baylor at number 6, they have elite perimeter play. Adam Flagler coming back, LJ Cryer potentially staying healthy. They also add Keontae George, a freshman, 5-star freshman, who is really good, could be one of the best freshmen in the country this year. They are elite on the perimeter. Scott Drew, he's just doing another phenomenal job with this Baylor Bears team. If the guards can stay healthy with LJ Cryer, Adam Flagler, they will be another team that's going to be a tough out because of the guard play. We all know you win games in March because of guards. This team has the guards. Baylor is tough offensively and defensively. They're going to be tough to beat as well in the Big 12, one of the favorites there. At number 7, Duke, the John Shire era. It is no longer Coach K as John Shire steps in as the head coach for the Duke Blue Devils, and he brings in a loaded recruiting class. Derek Lively, Derek Whitehead, Mark Mitchell, Kyle Filipski, they are loaded. But the main focal point is the veterans coming back or coming in as well to Duke. Jeremy Roach coming back, who had a phenomenal finish to last season, was finally filling out his shoes what he was supposed to be at Duke. A great playmaking guard for them. They also got Jacob Granderson from Illinois, who could be a big piece to stretch for this Duke Blue Devil team. Is also a really good defender. For the Big Ten area here that we're in, we got a taste of him last year at Illinois. And with this class coming in, with the veterans returning, this Duke team is very, very good. It's going to be on the shoulders of John Shire, though, to try and take the pressure off of having all the weight on his shoulders with what he's going to get as Coach K trying to replace him. So Duke Blue Devils there at 7. Number 8, UCLA. Tiger Campbell is going to have a breakout season, a monster season from him. I'm also very high on Jaime Jaquez. This guy is going to be a problem this year. In a secret scrimmage they had, Tiger Campbell went for like 30-something, and Jaime Jaquez had 27. They are going to be a dynamic duo, especially in the Pac-12 this year. I am very high on UCLA and Mick Cronin's team. They also got a very good recruiting class coming in. Creighton, this could be one of their best teams ever that they've had. They return a lot from a season ago. They bring in probably the best transfer in Baylor Shireman. If they can stay healthy at the guard position, it's a theme here, but if they were inches away from beating Kansas in the round of 32 last year, and they bring back everybody, they are going to be loaded in the Big East, the favorites to win the Big East right now. And they're very solid defensively. They've got great guard play, a good post presence. They are going to be a tough team to beat. Excuse me. At number 10, we got the Arkansas Razorbacks. They've made it to back-to-back Elite Eights, and Eric Musselman brings in a loaded recruiting class headlined by Nick Smith, Anthony Black, and Jordan Walsh. They are going to be a tough out in the SEC as well, but what could get them is their inexperience and trying to get all these young freshmen to play together at a very quick rate. They are going to have to succeed and get through this tough non-conference schedule and into the tough SEC. This SEC is very, very tough this year. Tennessee, who is, I think, a very underrated team, they have a great guard in Zakai Ziegler. They also just pounded Gonzaga in a secret scrimmage, not so secret. It was for a charity exhibition game by like 18 points, and they were without Josiah Jordan James, who is going to be one of their best players this year for the Vols. Do not keep your eyes on the Vols. I mean, they are going to be a tough team. Could win the SEC. I'm very high on this team. They are very underrated and undervalued. Texas is another underrated team. They return a lot. They got a bunch from the transfer portal. They beat Arkansas in a secret scrimmage by 30. That's Arkansas with this the inexperience. Texas with the experience. Chris Beard, a great coach. Tyrese Hunter, they got from the transfer portal. And they also have Timmy Allen, Christian Bishop, and the quick and fast Marcus Carr. They are going to be a tough out in the Big 12. They are going to be in the mix of winning the Big 12 this year. Indiana, the favorite to win the Big 10. They return 90% of their scoring from last year. Race Thompson, but the Race Thompson, the ultimate glue guy coming back, but mainly headlined with Trace Jackson Davis, the All-American, coming back next year. They also added, Mike Woodson also added, a five-star point guard in Jalen Husseveino, who is going to have a massive role in his first year with the Indiana Hoosiers. TCU at 14, they are a tough out this year as well in the Big 12. They were very close to upsetting Arizona in the NCAA tournament last year, round of 32. Took overtime for Arizona to beat them. They return all five starters from a year ago. Jamie Dixon, his best team since being at TCU in 2016. And Mike Miles, their guard, potential All-America player this year. And the Big 12 preseason player of the year. TCU is going to have a dog in the fight as well. You got Auburn coming back. They're at 15. They are going to have a lot of question marks. How they can replace Jabari Smith, who went number 3 in the draft last year, and Walker Kessler, who was also a first round pick. That was their main point last year for them. Their defense on the inside. Now they're going to have guards that need to step up, and the bigs on the inside that are going to have to replace what they had last year are going to have ginormous shoes to fill. So look out for Bruce Pearl on this team. Bruce Pearl always gets his guys ready. Auburn is going to be well in the mix for an SEC championship this year. Next, we got Villanova, and it is not Jay Wright on the sidelines anymore. It's the Kyle Neptune era, and the main player that you need to be looking out for with this Villanova Wildcats team is freshman Cam Whitmore. He is a stud, absolute stud. Very long, athletic, can score on all three levels. He is going to be a problem in the Big East. Would not be surprised if he's a first-team All-Big East player, and very well could put his name in the mix as one of the best freshmen in the country this year. So be excited for Villanova in the Kyle Neptune era without Jay Wright. 17, we got Arizona, who does not have Benedict Mathurin, Terry, and Christian Coloco coming back this year. Tommy Lloyd is going to have a tall task in having a repeat of what Arizona was last year. They have great. They brought in a great transfer in Courtney Ramey from Texas at the guard position. They got Kerr Carissa, who's going to be pulling it from everywhere. They're going to need to have a solid wing presence and a dominant post presence as well, because they have to replace one of the best rookies in the NBA right now in Benedict Mathurin and a very long and lengthy big in Christian Coloco. Arizona, Tommy Lloyd is going to have a tough task in winning. They will be in the mix for the Pac-12, probably get right second or third behind UCLA. So Arizona is going to have another tough season for them. Number 18, Virginia, they return all five starters, and they bring in probably one of the best transfers in Ben Vanderblas from Ohio. He was on the team that knocked Virginia out when they were the reigning national champs in the 2021 NCAA tournament. They're going to be really good this year. Probably one of the Virginias of old teams with solid defensive play, just lull you to sleep, and scores of like 50s and 40s. They somehow do that to North Carolina every time they play them. Virginia, though, they return basically everybody. They're going to be a tough out this year in the ACC. Tony Bennett is getting back on the right course, and Virginia is starting to succeed again. Number 19, we got San Diego State. Matt Bradley, one of the best guards in all of college basketball, coming back again this year. They're going to be dynamic out there in the Mountain West, probably the best team out there, along with Wyoming with Hunter Maldonado. But San Diego State, the Aztecs, you'll see them in the Maui when they play Ohio State. Do not sleep on the Aztecs this year. Matt Bradley is going to be a problem. At 20, we got Alabama, dynamic backcourt with Jaden Bradley, a freshman, and Ohio transfer Mark Steers. They are going to be a tough out in the SEC this year. Oregon, they are more experienced than what they were last year. They will be tough in the Pac-12. Michigan, they're headlined by Hunter Dickinson, but what's going to need to happen with them this year is they are going to have a lot of huge breakout guys come in from last year's team coming into this season. They will need to have guards step up on the perimeter so that this Michigan team can contend in the Big Ten. And then we got Illinois at 23. A lot of teams are letting this Fighting Illini team fly under everyone's radar. They're a lot more versatile, bringing in Terrence Shannon Jr., Matthew Meyer, who was on the national champion team for Baylor. They got Sky Clark, a freshman point guard, who a lot are saying looks like an NBA point guard. This Illinois team is going to be very tough. Brad Underwood has got a very talented team in Champaign this year. Dayton, they return all five starters from last year. They are going to be a tough team in the non-Power 5. And then Texas Tech, Mark Adams, he's great first year. Going to have a tougher season this year. Brought in some key transfers. Had some guys step away from the program. But Texas Tech, with the defense that never rests, they are going to be well in the mix for a Big Ten championship or Big 12 championship. That is the top 25 of this year's AP poll starting out with the season. So now we're going to get into my sleepers and my frauds. So we're starting with the sleepers here. Tennessee, like I mentioned earlier, they pounded Gonzaga. They are a big-time sleeper. They are ranked 11th right now, and they could easily rise quick. They have great guard play, and they are going to be very tough to beat in the SEC. Do not be surprised if this team makes a run. Illinois, like I just mentioned, Brad Underwood's got a very talented and versatile team. Sky Clark, Terrence Shannon Jr., and Matthew Meyer, great leaders and a very good guard for them. And then Texas, they pounded Arkansas. They've got great guard play. I love great, solid guard play because that wins you games in March. Texas with Chris Beard is going to be a very good team this year. My frauds. I am going to say this one here for my frauds. Gonzaga. I do not think they're going to be as good as what they have been. Maybe not even make it to an Elite Eight this year. Depends on their path. I don't think Drew Timmy is all that they cracked out to be. Their guard play is not going to be good. They're very inexperienced. They don't have true scoring out there on the perimeter other than Julian Strother. And so he will need some help from the guards. And I just don't see it happening. You got Michigan. It's all Hunter Dickinson right there up in Ann Arbor. They're going to need some breakout guys like I just mentioned. And I don't see it happening. Michigan will probably finish like 5th or 6th in the Big Ten this year. So I don't have high hopes for this Michigan team other than Hunter Dickinson. In Kansas, they have a lot of smoke coming out of Lawrence right now because of Bill Self and assistant coach getting suspended for 4 games because of invalid recruiting, I guess. Paying players potentially. They got suspended 4 games, so there's a dark cloud over the Jayhawks program right now. Not sure what we're going to expect at the center position this year, but I like Kevin McCullough. I like Grady Dick. I like MJ Rice. They've got great scoring. They just need to succeed and let this dark cloud not affect them. So now I'm going to give you some of my predictions. My first team, All-America. I think North Carolina gets 2 guys on the first team All-Americans. Caleb Love, Marcus Sasser from Houston is going to be the second guard. Jaime Jaquez out of UCLA is going to have a tremendous year for the Bruins. Oscar Tshiebwe, it's going to be tough to keep the reigning Wooden Award player off of there. And then Armando Bacot from North Carolina. My Wooden Award winner is going to be Caleb Love from North Carolina. I think all the hype is around Armando Bacot. Teams are going to be focused on stopping the inside play and trying to keep this Carolina team off the glass. And they're going to forget about Caleb Love and what work he's put in this offseason to try and become an NBA point guard. And he's becoming a better playmaker, creating for others. He had 11 assists in their exhibition game. He is going to be a problem on the perimeter, knocking down shots, creating opportunities for his teammates. Do not sleep on Caleb Love this year. My Final Four prediction, maybe kind of chalk, but I think these are the 4 best teams in college basketball this year. Not like rank-wise, but I think that I can see these teams standing in the last weekend of college basketball. North Carolina, Houston, UCLA, and Texas. I love North Carolina a lot, as you guys know. Houston, their defense is insane, and they've got a great offensive guard with Marcus Sasser. UCLA, they return a lot from last year. Tiger Campbell is a great guard that is going to have a monster season. Jaime Hawke, as I just mentioned, is going to be one of the top 5 players in America this year. And then Texas with Chris Beard and their talented guards that they have this year. Texas is going to be very well in the mix to get to the Final Four. And then my national champion will be the North Carolina Tar Heels. They got to the last Monday in college basketball, had a 15-point lead at half, and let it slip away, letting Kansas cut down the nets in New Orleans, and North Carolina just lost by 3. I think they will win the national championship, beating Houston and Kelvin Sampson. The defense, it will not be a match for Armando Bacot and the guard play of Caleb Love and RJ Davis on the final Monday in Houston. North Carolina's got some bad memories of Houston from a few years ago back in 2016, but they will not let that get to them because they are on a redemption tour this year, getting back to that final Monday night, and they will be on the other end of the confetti this season. That is all I have for you guys. You got all my predictions. You got all my insight on this year's college basketball, the almanac, if you will, of everything college basketball. So excited for the games to tip off tonight. Can't wait for the season to get going. We're going to have so many great blockbuster matchups this year. It's going to be starting here very soon at the end of the week. Like I said earlier, Gonzaga, Michigan State. We got the Champions Classic next Tuesday. And then after that, we've got all the in-season tournaments, the Maui, the Battle for Atlantis, the PK-80 this year. It's going to be fun. College basketball, it's where greatness awaits, you know. So pumped for this season to get going. All starts tonight again. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is Beyond the Arc. We will see you next time.